guys. Welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 42. Today's episode is part 4 of our 7-part series, and we are talking about what is fundraising freedom and how can I get it? And today's episode is about how do I enhance my brand? So we're going to be talking a bit about branding, marketing, a little bit about those topics today. So I hope you are ready. I wanted to chat a little bit about some things that have been coming up in my life. And I also wanted to share a fun announcement. So I know when we started this series, I shared with you that I was wanting to go through each part of this series specifically because one of my top goals that I had, you know, put on my list when I had done our previous episode about the 80-20 rule, it got me thinking about what do I want to get done and what are the things that are really at the top of my list? Well, one of the primary things on my list was I wanted to record the audiobook for Fundraising Freedom. So I know as fundraisers, we're not always available to read books. You know that we're very busy. Our nonprofit leaders are on the go a lot. You guys do events on the weekends and nights, and you've just got a lot going on in your life. So I wanted to be sure that you had access to Fundraising Freedom through the audiobook. And I've often told people that I go, you know, I'm not sure if I would have actually read my book because I do love audio. So, and I hope, I assume you do too. And that's why you've picked up this podcast is that you're probably on the move, driving somewhere, off to a meeting and or commuting back and forth to your work. So I wanted to connect with you guys in that way too. If Fundraising Freedom, the book, was hard for you to sit down and get to, hopefully the audio will be a better connection for you. So mark your calendar. The audiobook is coming out on November 28th, and that is Giving Tuesday. So I thought it was very appropriate for us to release the book, or the audiobook, on Giving Tuesday. And of course, if you're not familiar with Giving Tuesday, I hope it's on your calendar, but this is the Tuesday following Black Friday. And it is, it's only been around for 5 years where they've really pushed encouraging people to financially give to their charity of choice on Giving Tuesday. So I hope you're already thinking about a campaign and how you're going to encourage people to give to your cause on that day. But it's a great way for you to push some donors your direction. So that's on November 28th. And the other thing that was fun about November 28th is actually that was that's my dad's birthday. So as many of you know, the reason why I got into my consulting business and pushed forward on doing the work that I do is because of my dad. So I thought it was very fitting that it landed on Giving Tuesday and my dad's birthday. So mark your calendar, November 28th, pick up a copy of the audiobook and be sure to share the audiobook release. Let your friends know if you have any fundraising friends that the book is coming out on audio and they can pick it up on Audible. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate so many of you who have already picked up the book and then have made comments about the audiobook. So I love it. I actually like having physical books and audiobooks as well, because sometimes it's hard to visually see things when it's through audio too. So I encourage you to get a copy of one or the other or both. And of course, I hope that you have that copy right now. I hope you've picked up a copy of the print book. As we go through this entire process, as we walk through each step of Fundraising Freedom, and we dig in. So we've already talked about the first 3 steps of the process, and now we're going to dig into step 4. So if you've missed out on the previous episodes, be sure to pick those up so that you can dive right in and know exactly where we're at. But we have already talked about how to focus your vision, how to run your research, how to enlist your team, and now we're talking about how to enhance your brand. And of course, every single letter of the process spells out the word freedom. So if you want that again, so focus your vision is the F, R is run your research, and then we got E, enlist your team, E, enhance your brand, D, we're going to be talking about that next week, deploy your team. Then we're going to do the O, organize your ask. And then the final one of our 7-part series will be make your difference, the M. So today let's talk about how do I enhance my brand? So as I dig in through the chapter, we are in chapter 4, and there are specifically six different things that I discuss in the book. I talk about how to create your personal brand, how to create your organizational brand, build out a high quality logo, creating your one page document, your case document, and then your website. So let's jump in and talk about all six of these today. And hopefully this will be a great way for you to really understand, how do I brand myself? And I know you might be an individual missionary, you might be somebody in ministry, but you might be a nonprofit organization that is still trying to figure out your branding, figure out where you fit in the market. And so just real quick, I want to highlight the fact that you do not need to be afraid if for some reason, if one location isn't as good as the next. I mean, I think about different like grocery store or different restaurants that you've been to where one location can be totally spectacular and another location could be just a mess, you know, like whether the staff is a mess, whether the you know, restaurant bathrooms are a mess, whatever it is. But in all of this is that you have more control than you think over your own personal brand and over your own, like if you're one of the entities of a bigger nonprofit, you have control over that. You have control over what that looks like for your own specific location. So today we're going to just chat a little bit here. We'll start off with your personal brand. We each have our own feel that we give to somebody. You know, that there is something when you meet somebody for the first time, they get a first impression, right? So within 7 seconds, somebody is going to make an impression of you and what you stand for. So when you come across to somebody, they're going to be looking at your appearance. They're going to be looking at how you talk, your body language. All those things are going to play an important role. So if you come up to somebody, they introduce themselves to you, you give them a firm handshake, you look them in the eye, you're standing up tall and confident, that's going to come across in a very different way than somebody who is slouched down, wearing frumpy clothes, not very articulate, you know, not speaking very clearly, distracted and just not confident at all. That is going to read so much different. You know, that's going to be a different feeling that person's going to get. So you have to ask yourself, what do I want to tell the world? What do I want people to say when they see me, when they look at me? What kind of impression are they going to get? And from there, like I said, 7 seconds, they're going to make that judgment. And they're going to determine whether or not they want to continue a conversation with you further on. It doesn't matter how good of an organization you work for. If you are a hot mess, nobody's going to want to talk to you. So I'm going to have some hard truth here. You know that we all are in control of the way that we present ourselves. And so I really, really encourage you to take some time to look at how you present yourself, not only with your clothes, your appearance, the whole thing. Is that, do you come off as a confident person, or do you come off a little bit, you know, either self-absorbed can be a little bit over the top. That could be an ego issue, a little bit narcissistic on that side. But I mean, I think we as nonprofit leaders tend to go the other direction, which is the less, you know, lesser confidence, maybe a little bit intimidated if we're talking to somebody who has more money than we do. And so we have to really kick it up a notch. And sometimes, I mean, I use the terminology that I, you know, fake it till you make it. And I know some people do not like that statement. But I do think that sometimes if you just fake the confidence, eventually you'll start to believe it and you will come off extremely confident. So if you are intimidated by somebody, you just put the face on and you do everything in your power to look like, oh yeah, I'm perfectly where I'm supposed to be. You know, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. So, and that can totally be in the moment you're just trying to fake it. So that's okay. That is more than okay. So here's the deal, is that personal brand is so important, but so is your organizational brand. So I know some people say that, you know, if you work for an organization that is not, you know, doesn't have high integrity, does not have good, you know, the whole appearance of the entire organization gives a bad feel. No matter how good you are, that is a challenge. You know, that you have to come in behind an organization that's not strong and isn't well represented in your community or, you know, in the country at large. So what you can do is when somebody does see you and they like you, there's a good chance that they're going to disregard that to some extent because they do like you and they want to do business with you. So just remember that you have a lot of control over how people perceive your organization just based on you personally. So that organizational brand, also realize that you may be a part of a bigger organization, but you also have your own location. So you are in control over what comes out of your location as far as at your print materials, your information that is coming out the door. This is the example that I often use about maybe a restaurant or a grocery store or any sort of business where you walk into one location and it's just immaculate. It looks, you know, everything's super clean. The customer service is over the top, and then you can go to the same exact store and go show up in a different location, and all of a sudden everything's just dirty, the people hate their lives, they're miserable, and you just get this really, really bad feeling as soon as you walk in the door of that business. So note that it's not necessarily the organizational brand that created that. It is predominantly the people who make up that organization and make up that location. I use the example that comes to mind immediately is actually Walmart. So when I lived in Southwest Missouri, and I'd walk into a Walmart. They have Walmarts in every corner, it seems like. But I always had a really great experience with Walmart. I mean, of course, you know, some places were worse than others. But then I moved to St. Louis, and when I walked in to the Walmart that's closest to me, I mean, every single time I went into that store, I would leave and text my husband and say, "These people hate their lives. This was the most miserable experience ever," you know? And I just hated going to Walmart. And I just vowed, I'm never going to walk into a Walmart. You know, I'm not going to walk into that Walmart anymore here in St. Louis because those people just hate their lives. Like, I just can't even handle it. I would go there and then I'd go to Trader Joe's. And then all of a sudden at Trader Joe's, like, these people were just smiling from ear to ear and they loved life. And they were just, "Oh, how are you?" And, you know, I'm buying dog treats and they're like, "Oh, what kind of dog do you have?" And they're so friendly. And so look at that. So that was just the people who work at the company. You know, Chick-fil-A is the same way. I'll drive through their drive-thru and I just get this feeling where I'm like, "Oh my gosh, these people like really, really love their lives," you know? But Chick-fil-A, talking about them, is that is a culture that the organization created from the top down. So I really, whenever I walk into, you know, go to a Chick-fil-A, I feel like I've never had a bad experience because I think that they hire really well and they let people know that this is our belief system and this is how we are. This is the brand that we have as an organization. And if you as an individual don't align with that, then they just don't even keep you around or hire you in the first place. So those are just a couple examples of just thinking through the organizational brand and how that might align with your cause. Could be very different for you depending on if you're an individual who's raising support and you come off of a larger organization, same thing, but every single person is looking at you as your own individual brand as a subset of that bigger brand, okay? So let's talk a little bit about your logo. Now, every single, you know, event, every campaign, every, program that you have for your organization can have its own logo, can have its own branding that makes it very different so that it attracts a different audience. You'll notice that a lot of larger nonprofits will have a 5K walk, they'll have a golf tournament, they'll have a gala, you know, so just thinking about those sorts of events, each one of them is branded to a different audience. Their galas are typically targeting a larger, you know, wealthier population. The 5Ks are hitting everybody and their brother, from high school kids, elementary kids, all the way up to senior citizens. So, you know, that event is being branded to a much broader organization or broader population. So just note that each one of them is going to have its own brand. So the same thing goes for you, is that if you are, you know, raising support for a specific campaign, you may have your own branding for that campaign. And people know, okay, that's the campaign that we're raising money for X. Okay, we're doing a building campaign and that is our building campaign. So versus an individual who's raising personal support, now that person, your branding may be your family. It may be you and your spouse and your kids. You know, so there's a whole different kind of perspective that comes into play when it comes to how you're going to logo and brand your specific fundraising. So, but just know you have the ability to do that. You know, when I worked for the American Cancer Society, of course, they have their normal brand for the American Cancer Society as a whole. But then I worked on an event called the Cattle Baron's Ball, and it was a Western themed event. So we weren't going to take the American Cancer Society logo and just use that. We wanted to create this whole branding around a Western themed event. So now everything was browns and golds and, you know, had that more rustic feel to it, purely because that was the brand. That was what we wanted people to feel when they saw this particular event. And so we built out a logo, built out the whole branding around that particular event. So now if you don't have a logo at all for your cause, this is something that you're going to want to do. So you want your own logo. You want some way to brand yourself so that when people see the logo, they know that it's you. So, you know, depending on if you're a subset of a larger brand, I would just recommend that you use the main brand. There is going to be name recognition that falls in line with that bigger organization. So do not come up with your own logo separate from the main organization, only because I think that there's something to be said about being branded as one big organization. So, but what you can do is you can take that same logo and use your specific location. So whether, you know, like when I lived in Springfield again, I mean, everything was kind of like of the Ozarks, you know, so there was a lot of the companies that were of the Ozarks. So it was just that little tagline, or depending on your location, you know, the Heartland or the Midwest or Great Plains, or, you know, like, so there's lots of different ways that you can brand the same logo, but put your area or region on it. So, and then, like I said, brand out your events so that each one of them has its own signature feel to it, depending on who you're targeting for your audience. So those are the primary things that I want you to hear as far as the branding goes. Now, when it comes to your print materials, I recommend that every nonprofit, depending on what it is that you're pushing at the time, that you should have a one-page document and you should have a case document, which I like to call the case document like a presentation piece, because it really is. It's a, you know, 8 pages, an 11 by 17 folded in half. And so you've got eight and a half by 11 sheets of paper that you have to put content on. It's a great presentation piece. It's a great way to showcase who you are, what you stand for. It answers those questions: who, what, when, where, why, and how. And I want to be able to answer every question possible when somebody's thinking about, well, should we give to that cause? Should we give to them? And just notice, if I'm doing a bake sale, I'm not doing a big presentation piece, because seriously, 50 cents, a dollar, $5, I mean, that is very, very minimal as far as commitment goes. So that can be done in a one-page document. So here's like a flyer for your fundraiser. So if you're doing a smaller event, a one-page, or if you're raising personal support, a one-pager is more than enough. And I just say, break it down into 3 quadrants, okay? So imagine an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. The top third is who you are. So a picture, you've got your logo, maybe a picture of you and your family, if this is your personal support, but you've got your logo and you've got your branding on the entire piece. But the top third is about who you are. And then the middle section is all about what it is that you're trying to do. What are you raising support for? Where is the money going to go when somebody gives it to you? Okay. So, and then the final part is really the how. So I want to know, how do I give my money to you? Okay. So that one pager, one third talks about who you are. One third says about what it is that you're doing, how they can be a part of it. And then the final one third is all about how can they give you their support? How can they buy into what it is that you're selling? Okay. So that's a one pager. So one pager and then a full, you know, on case document. And ideally that case document or presentation piece is something that would be presented in a nice folder, a presentation folder, which has your business cards in it. So you and your lead volunteer would have your business cards in this presentation piece. So those are 2 really, really important pieces. Of course, making sure that they're done high quality so that when somebody shows an interest in what you're doing, you look the part. You know, so if you look like you're just winging it and your print materials look like you're just winging it, then people are not going to give you very much money, okay? So we want to look extremely professional, even though maybe we don't feel that way. Your materials will make a difference in showcasing who you are and what you stand for, and those materials are really, really important. So the next piece is your website. And the website for your cause, for you personally, is really, really important because it's your first impression online. And you are in full control over what people see on your website. And today, when people hear your name or hear your business or your organization, they're going to go to your website. So you want to be able to, in your website, give clear direction as to what it is that you want them to do. A lot of nonprofits determine that they want to have a fundraising website. And that fundraising website is an easy way for somebody to go to your site and to say, hey, we want to support you. How can we do that? And if you've got something set up where you're raising money, whether that's a smaller event, you know, like the 5K kind of team event, you know, so if somebody wants to raise support as a team, they can do that through your website. So there's several different samples. You can look at almost any larger nonprofit organization and you're going to find their fundraising sites. I mean, using the American Cancer Society as an example, relayforlife.org, and you can see their fundraising site. Charitywater.org, same thing. There's lots and lots of organizations that do this. So if just think about some national nonprofits and just go to their site and go look at how they ask people to support their cause. Sometimes there's just a little give button up in the upper right-hand corner that invites people to financially support their cause. But you do want to have a variety of different ways for people to get plugged in. So if you've got opportunities for them to volunteer, if you've got opportunities for them to become a sponsor or to donate to an upcoming event, buy tickets to your upcoming event, you want to make sure that that's really clear on your website. And then, of course, making sure that if you are allowing them to fundraise on your behalf, that they can easily get their site set up and they can start encouraging people to give. So a lot, I get the question often where people ask, should I set up a GoFundMe account? You know, something like those websites where it's like, hey, this is simple. I can just go set up this website and drive traffic to GoFundMe. And I'm going to tell you that GoFundMe and organizations like that are not my favorite for a legitimate 501c3 nonprofit. And the reason for that is because you do not need to go that route. It's one thing for somebody to have been diagnosed with a disease and they've got medical bills that are piling up to go set up something like a GoFundMe. But if you have a 501c3 status, you're tax exempt, you are in business, then it is best if you set up a legitimate website that has your name as the homepage, you know, that it's really clear that you guys are doing business and you're not going away anytime soon. So GoFundMes are great for, you know, the unexpected, but for you, you're not the unexpected. You know, you're setting up a legitimate 501c3 and you are doing business every day of the year. And so you want people to give to you year after year after year. So the site is really important for that to happen. So all of this on marketing and how do I enhance my brand? The thing is that I just want you to be consistent. I want you to be really, really clear with your message. A lot of times we tend to complicate the matter. And if you're not clear in step one with your focus, your vision, if you don't have a clear mission and vision, it's going to be hard to brand yourself, you know? So all these steps lead up to where we're at today with this step four. And that's because now you know what you stand for. You know who you are. So it's easier to pull graphics and start to use certain text and verbiage so that people really get it. They really understand who you are. So this is really, you know, one of those things that you're going to figure out very quickly is that certain colors, certain things are going to resonate with you and it's going to resonate with your organization. And so that's what you want to see in your print materials. This is what you want to see on your media, you know, any of your website and materials that you have control over it. You know, don't confuse people. There's no reason for that. I tell people with your mission and your vision statement, 10 words or less. I mean, that doesn't have to be your serious mission statement, but you should be able to explain what you do in just a very short amount of time. You should be able to say it in 10 words or less. You know, what is it that you do? We end homelessness. We cure cancer. We help babies. You know, like you know, we're saving puppies. You know, like there's certain things that you can easily say where it's like, oh, I get what you do. But if you make it so super complicated, people are not going to remember that. So this is just for you to get in your head, okay, branding wise, what do we want people to feel and what do we want people to see when they see our brand and see our materials? Do you want them to get, you know, kind of this, we pulled it together look, you know, last minute, we just kind of threw a logo on there. We slapped it on. It was all stretched out. And it was all, you know, the resolution was low on it. Well, of course not. You know, you want to look like you spent the time and energy to make sure you had quality materials. Your logo is quality. And so when somebody gives to your cause, they're going to have a really great experience. And trust me, your materials say that. And I know that's hard to believe, but if somebody looks at your materials, what kind of impression are they going to get within 7 seconds? So use this as a time for you to really test the waters with the stuff that you're already using. Ask for input from some of your volunteers. Take a moment, come from the lens of your donor, look at the pieces that you have, and then ask yourself, am I giving the right impression of what we stand for? Does it make sense? Does the words on this paper actually connect with the person who's reading it? And if it doesn't, it's time to revamp it. You know, it's time to make those changes so that your materials do reflect properly. And that might mean that you need a better graphic designer, you need other people on your team who can pick up some things, but be sure to just pay attention. I think that's what the whole thing comes down to, is just really being intentional about everything that you do on the branding and marketing side, is that there's a real strategy to this. You don't just want to toss out a newsletter and hope that it gets to the other person on the other end and maybe they will see it, maybe they won't. Let's make sure that we're intentional. Make sure that the stuff that we do put in our print pieces and in our newsletter really reflect our organization and our cause. Okay, so you have control over it. We know that. You are in control of your personal brand. You're in control of your local location. And, you know, you've got the ability to change people's perspectives about your cause by just having a conversation with them. So don't miss out on these very simple ways that you can connect with your audience, with your people. So once again, those 6 parts to this, you know, this part of the how do I enhance my brand is that you want to create that personal brand, create your organizational brand, make sure you have a high quality logo, a 1-page document, your case document or presentation piece, and your website. So all of those pieces are super, super high quality and they represent you and your cause well. So that's a wrap on our part 4 of how do I enhance my brand. Of course, I want you to be able to jump into the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, share with us your materials. This is a great safe place for you to be able to show your materials and to get feedback. If you're not sure what kind of impression you're giving to somebody, be sure to jump in the tribe and share your materials and ask for feedback. Ask if what you're doing is working. And if it's not, be willing to make those changes. So today, as you move forward and moving into this process, I just encourage you to implement these ideas, implement the things that we've been talking about, and just kick up what you're doing. Take it to the next level so that when people see you, they really, really want to be a part of it. So I encourage you to do that. And once again, be sure to check out Fundraising Freedom Tribe, which is on Facebook. You can just type it in, Fundraising Freedom Tribe, and we'll go ahead and click add and we'll welcome you into the group. And this week, mark your calendar because we have our Fundraising Freedom Fellowship. So this Friday, we'll be on 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and all those details will be in the tribe page. So hope you guys have a great week. If you need anything, you know where to find me, maryvaloney.com, and I would love to chat with you if you're interested in finding out more about my coaching and the work that I do. So don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything, and hope you guys have a great week. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.